I'm Barbara Lewis. Consumer Reports published a national survey this summer, which found that nearly 60% of consumers check labels to see if what they are buying is natural, even though there is no agreed-upon definition for what natural actually means. So now Consumers Union, the magazine advocacy arm, is gathering signatures online to petition the FDA to get rid of the word natural from food labeling. It's just one example of how activists are changing what we eat and what we know about what we eat. Marion Nessel has been following the twists and the turns of the food industry for years from her perch as professor of food studies and public health at New York University, and she joins me now. Marion Nessel, welcome back to Sound Medicine.
Oh, glad to be here.
Well, we want to talk about the growing power that consumers seem to be wielding against food manufacturers. But first, can you give us a sense of how much influence the big players in the food industry hold? I mean, the Coca-Colas, the Pepsis, the Kraft Foods. How much say do they have over what they put in their products?
Well, they have to put in their products what they're allowed to put in their products. Then they must label their products according to FDA rules. They own lots of products in the supermarkets and have enormous distributions and make billions of dollars a year.
Yeah. So how well-positioned is the FDA to yank ingredients from our food and beverages?
Well, the FDA has the authority to remove products from the food supply that are demonstrably unsafe. Proving that something is demonstrably unsafe is not particularly easy, and the FDA doesn't have a huge staff or a huge amount of money to do the work that it does. But by and large, it depends on large companies following the rules, and mostly they do.
Let's turn to the power of the masses. You know, pre-internet, what are some examples of consumers rallying to get an ingredient or a product off the market they perceived as harmful?
Well, I suppose the best example is pink slime, where someone who describes herself as a mommy blogger but is actually a Harvard-trained lawyer discovered that this ingredient, lean, finely textured beef ingredient, was being added to her kids' lunches and didn't like the sound of it, thought it was really not made very well, that it wasn't safe and it wasn't nearly as nutritious as real meat, and started a campaign to get rid of it and got rid of it. Put the company out of business, actually.
So what's your take on activists who turn to Change.org and other social media outlets to put pressure on companies like Kraft and Gatorade and Starbucks?
How else would they do it is my question. I mean, there really is no other consumer voice that can put pressure on companies that are doing things that consumers don't like very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on the other hand, you have vocal consumer groups that have shifted the trajectory of products that are good for public health. Let's take vaccinations, for example, and other places where people gather online, like the comments section, aren't always known for well-reasoned discussion. Does the prospect of a social media flash mob, you know, influencing national policy worry you in any way?
Oh, it certainly does. I'm a blogger, and I have people commenting on my blog all the time, often in ways that I don't consider particularly collegial. But that's how this system works, and everybody better get used to it because it's not going away.
Starbucks, for example, didn't even raise an objection, didn't even really say too much of anything before it took its insect-derived dye off. Compare that to some other companies like Kraft, who changed some of the coloring ingredients in some of their products, but left their traditional macaroni and cheese yellow food coloring kind of the same.
It's interesting to me that so many of these campaigns are focused on very tiny ingredients that are consumed in very small amounts, and about which there's very little evidence about efficacy or safety or any of the other kinds of things. Now, many of these substances have not been tested. Some of them have been, but either got by or were assumed to be safe by the FDA. And it seems to me that this is part of a movement to having foods have fewer additives and fewer chemical substances added to them. And it seems to me in the long run, this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So the bigger picture here is that big food companies will be a lot more careful of what they put in?
I think they need to be more careful, and they need to be more transparent about what they're doing and be willing to work with the public about some of these things. I think taking some of these chemicals out of the food supply, I don't know whether it'll make a difference to health, but those compounds certainly aren't promoting health for the most part. And if it's possible to remove them, I think it's terrific to have them removed. Now, the dyes and the flavors, that are ingredients that are added to foods, are there for cosmetic purposes. They're there to make the food taste palatable, because otherwise it's so highly processed that it wouldn't be. So here again, you want to be eating foods with fewer added chemicals to them.
Do you see a time when people might get tired of signing change.org petitions about food?
I've already reached that point.
Okay.
I mean, I get change.org petitions every day, and mostly I don't read them anymore. Many of them seem frivolous to me. And don't seem like the kind of issues that I want to spend a lot of time arguing about.
And any danger of, I mean, because when we're talking about additives that simply change color of a product, and like you said, some chemicals that really just don't even really need to be there. But is there any danger of the food supply getting less safe if, some of the petition drives and some of the public outcry is over things that actually make the food safer?
Yes, I think it certainly does make a difference, but companies really don't want to be poisoning their customers. That's really not what they're trying to do. What they are trying to do is sell their products at the lowest possible price. So if they can put a color in and make it attractive to people and so that people want to buy it, they're going to do that, and they're not going to worry so much about the long-term safety of that color if there's no evidence that the color is harmful at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
it's harmful in rats, maybe it's harmful in mice. You have no idea whether that means it has any effect in humans. These studies are extremely difficult and expensive to do. So a precautionary approach is to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And if there's some evidence that they're harmful, getting rid of them, it seems to me, is a very good idea.
What about Gatorade dropping the BVO? What do we know about BVO? Or should we be very concerned about that? Because it depends on what you read.
Well, it's brominated vegetable oil. And again, there are studies that show that it's harmful to animals. It's very unclear what it does in people. And it's very unclear what it does at the levels that it's found in these foods. On the other hand, Gatorade is a very highly artificially colored product. And there's no reason why it needs to be.
So do you see, we certainly love our local food and sustainable food. I mean, do you see us getting to, even with big food companies, healthier products with less ingredients? Are we headed that way?
Well, certainly there's a niche in the grocery store of products that are advertised as natural and don't have a lot of artificial ingredients added and are promoted as healthy, natural, close to nature products. And there's an audience for those.
Mm-hmm. But there's people who can't afford they tend to be more expensive. And then there are
those. Well, yes, they tend to be more expensive because they're designed to appeal to elite shoppers who have money, have education, and know and are trying to do something about their health.
Okay, so we're not kind of making two classes of people who can afford to eat healthy.
But we do have two classes of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do. We have a small, extremely small segment of the food supply that is purchased by people who have enough money and are educated and care deeply about their health and what food does to their health and are very educated about it. Those are the people who are buying the products that are advertised as healthy and natural. And then you have consumers for whom the main issue is price.
Well, Marion Nessel, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for your opinions and your insight.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Marion Nessel is the Paulette Goddard Professor of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health at New York University. She blogs at foodpolitics.com, and her latest book is Eat, Drink, Vote.